That used to be have to be a flight of Juno to get your ultrasound to see. Now we can tell right here if they have one, treat it. They don't even need to go to Juno.
New clinic equipment is helping reduce cost and travel time for locals' medical care. And what's in the governor's budget for us? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley. That news and more coming up. But first, we have a correction to a story in the last newscast. The status of the Heliski work group is not still under discussion. The group is no longer. The motion made at Tuesday's Haines Assembly meeting to end the Heliski work group did not introduce an ordinance to that effect, but was the action that dismantles the ad hoc group. Since the group was established by a motion, an ordinance is not required to end it. It is, in fact, disassembled, and the issue will not appear on the next agenda for the January meeting. Governor Sean Parnell announced his fiscal year 2013 budget this week. Out of the $12 billion in proposed spending across the state, $15.6 million is slated for Northern Lynn Canal projects, the bulk of it in waterfront work. The proposed budget shows $5 million for the Skagway Small Boat Harbor and $4.5 million for Haines Boat Harbor and breakwater improvements. It also considers the refurbishment of the Klondike Highway, appropriating $2.5 million for improvements to the industrial ore haul route, and in the Chilkat Valley, $1 million is slated for Haines Highway reconstruction from 3.5 mile to 21 mile. Also in Haines, $1.6 million is proposed for a storage building for the borough's sanding and snow removal equipment, and close to $700,000 is written in for the Barnett water tank replacement. The Department of Military and Veterans Affairs also included $320,000 for Haines Armory deferred maintenance work in the budget. Some of those projects are the same ones that top the list of state legislative priorities for the Haines Borough in the next year. The Assembly at Tuesday's regular meeting voted to adopt a list of capital budget projects that they'll work with the governor, legislature, and state agencies to advance. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp announced the list to the group.
Okay, number one, Haines Boat Harbor improvements. Two, Haines New Deck Dock improvements. Three, Haines Community Facility Master Plan. Four, Haines Barnett Water Tank Replacement, DEC. Five, Haines Municipal Water Treatment Building Replacement, DEC. Six, Haines School Pool / Locker Upgrades, PEO.
The adopted resolution adds the wastewater and sewer treatment plant replacement to the list as number six and broadens the water treatment building work to involve the greater plant. A copy of the resolution is available at the borough website. The list is not final. The borough may add other projects later as it's done so in past years. Borough Manager Mark Ernest indicated the interest at the state level for funding Boat Harbor improvements. Similarly, the governor's proposed budget for 2013 includes major funding for port projects statewide, including a $350 million bond package for port projects in several municipalities, including Ketchikan.
Some of this, or much of this, is based on conversations that we've had with Representative Thomas on Boat Harbor improvements, and I strongly would recommend that that project remain where it is on the list. It is going to be a very concerted effort on this part to try to get this project
regionally, the inclusion of $60 million for construction of the new Alaska-class ferry means the work on the first new ferry since the 1960s could begin in the next fiscal year in Ketchikan. Haines government has in the past expressed interest in seeing that ship homeported in Haines waters. Overall, the governor's budget represents more than $800 million less spending than the current year's budget. Parnell said in a speech Thursday that his plan shows restraint and should send a message that state spending will not spike just because Alaska has surplus funds. Parnell has also said that he intends to propose a balanced budget that gives lawmakers room to add items.
The EA and Jenny Rasmussen Clinic here in Skagway holds an open house on Tuesday, December 14th. Clinic Administrator Shelley Moss was kind enough to sit down with me to answer a few questions. What's the reason for the open house today?
Mainly it's just for the holidays, but to open it up to the community. A lot of people are very curious what happens here and the equipment and the services we provide, and so they're able to walk through the entire clinic and get a view of what we have to offer.
You mentioned showing off what you have to offer. Is there anything you'd like to highlight?
The ultrasound services are a new program this year, and so that's up and going and extremely successful. It has prevented several trips to Juno because we were able to do screenings and stuff like that, and it's a new equipment that we're very, very proud of and really exciting for the community, for sure.
the clinic was able to purchase the ultrasound machine using funds received from a federal grant. What are some of the things that the equipment can do?
We can do all different types of ultrasounds. Judy Mallory is actually our licensed sonographer, so it's great because she's local. We're supporting a local individual, and she's pretty much on call and available at all times, schedule, you know, given, of course. But we can do pretty much every ultrasound that is needed, except for the echocardiogram. And we hope to find a grant soon that can add that addition, possibly, to our ultrasound machine.
Ms. Moss and I then went to the room where the portable machine is housed. Carol Borg, one of the providers, joined us to give me a professional overview of the machine and its capabilities.
May of 2011 we started, and Judy Mallory is our ultrasound tech, so she has been ultrasound tech for many, many years and lives in the community, so she does our ultrasounds. And probably the biggest use we have for it is OB ultrasounds, and it has been a huge thing for women to not have to travel to Juneau to get their OB ultrasounds. They can stay here and get them done. So that's probably our biggest use. Other things that it can be used for, a big thing, especially in the summer, looking for DVTs or deep vein thrombosis, blood clots in the legs with all the travelers, people coming. That used to be have to be a fly to Juneau and get your ultrasound to see. Now we can tell right here if they have one, treat it. They don't even need to go to Juneau, so it saves a transport there. Abdominal pain, looking for gallbladder issues or things like that, we can do those. We can look at carotid arteries, look for any blockages in carotid arteries. So those are probably the biggest uses we have with it. Vaginal ultrasounds for women that have gynecological issues, we can do those. Those are the big ones that we use it for.
Wow, it looks like there's a lot of tests you can provide here. Are there any tests that you're not able to provide?
The one thing that we can't do is echocardiograms, and that would be like an ultrasound of the heart. That would be a one upgrade from this machine that we don't have. We're hoping maybe in the future we can head in that direction, but at this point we don't have the software to do that.
How quickly would someone be able to get results from the scans?
We can get what we call a wet read, which is a pretty quick read without an official typed-up report. If we have something we need fairly urgently, the process is pretty much just like our x-rays. The software is downloaded to the machine, and it's put through a telephone line. It's transmitted pretty quickly to Juneau, and they do have 24-hour radiologists on call there, and so we can get a pretty immediate read if we need to.
How well utilized is the machine?
We were kind of doing an estimate, you know, how many scans a year would we do to make it worth it, and we're coming up, you know, maybe 20-something, and I bet we did that the first 4 to 6 months we had it.
We've done over 100.
Though the ultrasound machine is still new to the clinic, it has been put to good use and has been a great complement to the array of services offered at the clinic here in Skagway. Carol and Shelley were both very enthusiastic about the machine and the ways in which it can help our community reduce the cost of medical care with the reduced number of medical transports. Reporting for KHNS, this is Misty Wiley.
The incoming president and CEO of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH Clinic, says he's looking forward to getting reacquainted with Southeast, the region where he grew up. But Charles Clement also acknowledges that it's an uncertain time for the field of healthcare, and that a large part of his job will be preparing the nonprofit Tribal Health Consortium to handle whatever curves are in the road ahead. KCAW's Ed Ronco has this interview.
Southeast Alaska is nothing new to Charles Clement. He grew up in Metlakatla, but he says it's been 15 years since he lived in the region, and so when he takes over as CEO of SEARCH in February, his first task will be to get his bearings and refamiliarize himself with local issues.
A lot of things change over those times. I spend a lot of time there because my family still lives there, so I'm back many times a year, but there's a difference between being a visitor and being a resident.
Clement will be based in Juneau and will oversee a $115 million nonprofit tribal health consortium. SEARCH works in 18 communities, and with 1,000 employees, it's the largest private employer in the panhandle. Clement joined SEARCH from the South Central Foundation in Anchorage, where he was vice president and chief operating officer. Clement says his experience at the South Central Foundation will translate well to working at SEARCH.
I think SEARCH is in a very similar position as are many tribal organizations around the state.
That is to say, an uncertain one.
There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty about what the future holds for for all of us in healthcare, and you know, all of us as patients and recipients of healthcare services. I mean, I think these are sort of murky times. We don't know exactly what's going to happen.
He says healthcare organizations nationwide are heading into uncharted waters as the government hammers out healthcare reform and federal budget issues. But he also says those uncertain times are balanced against regional organizations like Search that are becoming more sophisticated and adapting.
You know, Search has really historically been a leader in that category, and I think, you know, really sort of trying to position Search to sort of be able to deal with what's coming down the line with, you know, the Affordable Care Act and the budgetary considerations. As Search is a large federal contractor, you know, the budgetary considerations on what's going to happen with the budget crisis in Washington, D.C., working, you know, proactively with the state of Alaska to try to ensure that we maximize, you know, any opportunities to position Search for you know, future growth and development of services.
Clement's bachelor's degree is in economics and political science, and he holds a Master of Public Administration degree from the University of Alaska Anchorage. Helgeson, the current Search CEO, leaves his post on December 16th. Search General Counsel Ken Truitt will serve as interim president until Clement arrives in February. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
This is Tara Bicknell with Misty Wiley, reporting for KHNS.